All right, welcome to another episode of Aussie Cinema Talk with me, Dom.
And me, Tim.
Yes, we're still practicing COVID-safe social distancing. Tim's calling in. However, I've got a little bit of a cold. I don't want to alarm you, listeners. I do not have COVID. I went and got it checked out at my work's request. I knew I had a cold, but I did have to go into one of those mobile testing units and get the swab. And I don't know, listeners, if you've had it or not, but it's not comfortable. Have you had it yet, Tim?
Oh, right up the nose. It's nose swab.
It's through the back of the throat. And then one right up the nose, like further than anything has ever gone up my nose. This thing gets shoved right up there, and it was a ghoulish scene. I had to go down to the Royal Prince Alfred Hospital, not the Royal Prince Albert, the piercing den, but the Royal Prince. Royal Prince Alfred Hospital, and it was literally like something out of fucking Resident Evil, dude. There was biohazard tape flapping in the breeze. There was nobody around. It was really creepy. And then I had to wait 3 days in lockdown at home to make sure I didn't have it. I knew I didn't have it, but you know, for my work, so I got the all clear the other day, which was lovely to hear. How have you been keeping?
Did you enjoy your days off, though?
I did, actually, yeah. And I was crook. I really needed one day to really properly recover. And then the rest of the days I've just been sort of watching movies like Pacific Banana, which we are tackling this evening. We're going to be talking about
the new
Pacific Banana. Now, Pacific Banana came onto my radar. It's a John D. Lemon movie, and John D. Lemon is like a classic kind of peddler of filth in Australian cinema. He actually died in 2018, I believe, but he made some real fucking filth back in the day. He did the ABCs of Love and Sex, Australia Style, Australia After Dark. They're both kind of like pseudo-documentary type movies.
Was he also a cameo in this movie? Was he one of the dudes on the plane?
Oh, I didn't notice him, but I would not be surprised.
Like, huge Mo? Like,
nah, he was kind of a squat. He was kind of a squat feral sort of dude. He appears in the Ozploitation documentary. What was that called? The big one. They had like everybody, Quentin Tarantino and all that sort of stuff were on there.
Not quite Hollywood.
Not quite Hollywood. Yeah, he appears in that, and every time he's interviewed in that, he's at a strip club. So he's one of those.
You know where to find me.
He's one of those filthy blokes that never really gave up the filth, you know, like that's why he doesn't get any work. That's why I never got any work, you know, past, I'm just looking here, the last thing he directed, True Files. What the hell is that? Never seen that before. 1936 in Asia, an American woman's husband is shot while he's in bed with a prostitute. Still keeping up the filth into 2002 there. But yeah.
How did he get funding for this movie?
I guess it was the climate. I didn't look into it. Did you?
Nah, but there was there plenty of Pacific Banana type movies going around at the time, was there?
Well, it says that it came out in 1980, and it feels 70s as hell, doesn't it? Like it does. Feels like he worked on this for a long part of the 70s, and then finally maybe got it released in 1980 because it just. I mean, like even for the 80s, it's just a little bit too ripe for a sex comedy.
It almost looked like it seemed like it was stock footage from their holidays, and they just sort of put together a bit of a storyline. Like they staged little nights. They're like, we'll do a scene tonight in Tahiti, and then another few cuts of the airplane, and then interior.
This was sort of like I say golden age, I'm not articulate enough to describe what I mean by golden age, but golden age of sex comedies where the plot was a sentence long and basically it was just tits, ass, few gay jokes, end of movie, you know? That was the kind of vibe for this. And the reason this is on my radar is because Tony Martin, the great Tony Martin, who's sort of like an Australian, he's a great Australian comedian, filmmaker, and you know, he's kind of like a bit of a film historian, I suppose, loves these kind of trashy dick and fart movies, and is a big fan of John D. LeMond, and that's why when
they're kind of valuable, these movies, though, in their own special way. It's just
absolutely
ridiculous.
Absolutely, they are
served up straight up ridiculous, smutty, like.
Yeah, it's the kind of like, it's that unchecked kind of like rude, like white privilege sort of like, it was the era where Australia was like, it didn't really have any problems, you know, like white people
didn't
have.
You got to know what you're doing when you're grabbing that in the video shop, you know.
Oh yeah, dear listeners.
Yeah, like when you're walking down the aisle and then there's that aisle where or that little section, that corner where you just like walk in, you go, whoa, okay.
Usually above the wrestling section.
Yeah.
That's where they used to put the softcore porn in the video shop near us. It was always like pro wrestling, softcore porn. But yeah, dear listeners, do yourself a favor. Look up the poster for Pacific Banana. It's a bit of it looks like a Carry On movie. Remember those English Carry On Columbus, Carry On, you know, they were just sort of the same kind of movies.
Carry it was
very like Frank Spencer style humor, as you've yeah. pointed out to me. This is doing an absolute backflip from the last movie we approached.
Yeah, this is a redeemer for sure. Man, Pacific Banana. It's a fairy tale. I'm the fairy godmother. No one believes in fairy tales these days. Not my type, anyway.
Right. Let's... Let's get it.
That's all we get straight off the bat.
We've got a narrator who is the ultimate camp 80s, and I'm using the 80s term here, poof. Right? That's the term they would have used back then. And he's camp as hell.
Such a generic sort of, it's such a voice that it's almost unrecognized. You can't pinpoint, like, oh, I know that voice from somewhere, or I know that sort of that character that he's doing, but it's just so blanket, isn't it? It's just, bananas.
Yeah. This narrator is an interesting element to this movie, and I've wondered whether or not the narrator was a kind of a post-production decision, because I do feel like there isn't much sort of dialogue between the narrator and Martin, our main character Martin, played by Graham Blundell, famous for what was the film he was in? Very famous, Alvin Purple, which was like sex comedy, which we'll probably cover on this. But yeah, it was kind of like they clearly saw the success of Alvin Purple and were like, right, we're doing that. Well, I think, did John G. LeMond do Alvin Purple? No, he didn't. He didn't direct those. But yeah, it was a similar kind of thing. He was a geeky sort of guy, basically playing the same character as Alvin Purple, geeky guy. Girls can't get enough of him. What's his problem? What's his problem, Tim?
Oh, wait, no. Which one are you talking about?
Martin.
The guy with the problem. Yeah, Martin. He's got a bit of a problem. He sneezes and he goes floppy every time.
I've got a problem. It's a bit embarrassing, really. For all I know, I might be the only person in history with such a problem.
He loses his erection.
It's not that he can't get... Yeah. Or is the narrator like more eloquently put it than I? It's like, we've got this guy who's got trouble keeping it up, and the other guy who's got trouble keeping away from it, getting away from it all.
It's
keeping it down.
It's so, I mean, like, I love the.
He's on a flight, and then some rich lady, like, tries to fondle him while he's on autopilot, and then he loses his job for it.
Or does he?
The owner. Yeah, well, he's like, I know what she's like, so I've got you another job. He's like, oh, Banana Airlines.
So this rich tycoon who owns loads of airlines, he also has a special airline for his horniest employees called Banana Airlines. So if any employee is too horny, he sends them to Banana Airlines so they can, you know, sow their oats and get the horniness out of their system.
Get me Banana Airlines.
Banana Airlines?
These lads will deal with it. He falls, yeah, remember, like, and then this is where he falls out of the cab, and then the lady's like, oh my God, he tried to grab me, and, you know, he takes a rap for it. But you've got the windsock effect that goes down, and the,
yes, like the, which is a recurring sort of effect. Yeah, every time Martin, our main character, every time he loses his erection, it's shown by showing a windsock that loses wind and becomes floppy. And it's usually with a slide whistle, that classic Monty Python.
Yeah. And he looks into the camera every time and it's like, oh no. looks like you've got a serious problem on your hands there, Martin.
So, yes, Martin gets...
What's going to come of this? Nothing's going to come of this. You can't come at all, Martin.
Yes, the narrator fills in all the gaps. Anytime there's like a kind of silence, that's what makes me think it was a post-production decision. Because anytime there is a silence...
It's funny that there's the narrator, man. Because there was a movie we did, the Black Alice one, Sons of Steels, where we were wishing there was a narrator all the way through it. Just to keep the story going. This is a perfect example. Without this narrator, it'd be crazy, this movie. You have no idea what it would.
I mean, I still...
But he commentates as well.
Yeah, it's more of a sports commentary, isn't it? This camp sports commentary. Look, I mean, you and I, we're both fans of the sex comedy genre. Revenge of the Nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds.
You know, like, there was a great podcast that we both listened to, just finished recently, but Toga Party Podcast, that they used to review those 80s, 70s, 80s sex comedies. And this definitely, you know, it would have been terrific if they could have done a review of this movie.
Totally. They never did an episode of this, did they?
No. I wish they had, but yeah. I don't know. There's something about these movies. I mean, I think now through the modern lens, looking at these movies, it's the how wrong they are that makes you laugh. Yeah. At how, like, it makes you laugh thinking about the people that would have been experiencing this in the drive-in cinema or whatever, and just having a good belly laugh. And now we're looking at it like, that was all it took to make them laugh, you know?
That's what I was, like, so infuriated about. Like, I really had to make a conscious effort to sort of leave my present sort of morals and stuff on the table and try and just take this in as a viewer would have at the time, you know? Like, how are people, like, taking this movie in and, A, thinking it's okay, and B, thinking it's funny and stuff like that.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not one of those guys that thinks, you know, anything with sort of, you know, off color politics or whatever has to be deleted. And, you know, I'm not in on cancel culture. I don't think any of that sort of stuff. I think they should stay there. But I also think that, you know, looking through a modern lens, there's still value in these kind of comedies, and it's like they're funny. Yeah, sure. for their sheer brashness and, like, and what they think is funny is now funny, you know? Like, you look at old Three Stooges sketches and you know, there's loads of, like, drinking. Like, half of the Three Stooges sketches, you know, they'll have, like, a drunk character, and it's like, that's the joke, is that they just can't stay away from the grog. And it's like, it doesn't really hold up today, but it's funny now to look back on that being just a joke in itself.
Exactly. And they're still... like, stuff you can draw from this movie, that, like, influences from other, like, other directors and stuff would have seen this movie and just loved it for what it was as well.
Oh, for sure, so, for sure.
But, Pacific Banana Man.
Dude, I had a quick look at the writer, Alan Hopgood, because, I mean, the script was dreadful. Like, you know, at least directing, there's lots of locations, you've got beautiful people on screen, a lot of nudity. So there's a lot of, like, stimulating visuals. But, you know, I was like, who the fuck writes this movie? And, like, I had a quick look into him. The guy has a huge swath of writing under his belt. He's one of those guys that just wrote and wrote and wrote. He wrote for...
Pumps it out.
Yeah, he wrote for Neighbours in the later part of his career. He wrote in 2013. He was still writing for Neighbours, apparently, according to his IMDb. But yeah, he also wrote for... There was that TV show. He wrote for Prisoner. He wrote for The Cop Shop. He wrote for... Where is it? Homicide as well. And there was another one that he wrote for, Bellbird, a TV series. A lot of TV writing, like most of his films were TV.
And he exclusively wrote this movie.
He exclusively, by himself. No one to bounce it off. But also, just a quick honourable mention, he did also write Road Games, which is another Stay Tuned episode, another cool like kind of thriller movie we should definitely cover. But yeah, he really just wrote his whole career. A bit of Blue Heelers, apparently, in 2000 to 2004. Wow. So yeah, he was in work it's his whole
like,
life.
It's almost like he Benjamin Buttons his writing career. Because if this was one of his first movies, it was like he had no steam, no sauce. There was nothing.
Imagine how much they had to cut out of those Neighbours scripts.
Yeah. Whenever there wasn't a joke woven into this movie to keep the ball rolling, which they never were that funny when you're watching.
Oh, dude,
now,
the jokes are just appalling. They're not jokes.
But whenever there wasn't one, there was just nothing. There was no... It was really bad writing and stuff.
I wish I could call the rest of the day off. My windsock indicates a stiff southerly coming up.
Don't change the subject.
But the jokes, man... Yeah,
let's get into the movie, shall we? Like he basically, Graham Blundell's character Martin, he joins Pacific Banana Airlines, the horniest airlines coming out of Australia, and they're going all across the Pacific, and his co-pilot, co-pilot Paul, is even he's horny as hell. He's got like three fiancés, and they all work for the airline.
Can't handle it. There's two for the airline, and I'm pretty sure he's got like an Islander fiance on
that's every right.
island that he goes to. He just can't stop. That's his problem.
He's just too horny. And he even says, oh, when I was 15, I just couldn't help myself. I ended up like having a three-way with Girl Scouts, and oh, I just couldn't handle myself, man. I'm just too horny. And like, yeah, they're up in the air.
He's having sex with a woman while on the phone to his two... fiancés.
That's how we meet him. Yeah.
Yeah. And he gets off the phone and she's like, I'm not going into work just yet or whatever. And she's like, what about your fiancés? And he goes, I'll just tell them something came up as he looks into the camera. Like, these are. Yeah.
What?
What? For his teacher's noise. Something came up. Oh, you bet it. You bet it did, lad. You bet it did. Jolly Roger.
Yeah, very much, like you said, very much Frank Spencer humor. It's all innuendo. But at least with Frank Spencer, his innuendo fit into the script of the episode. You know, it was him getting confused with certain things.
He was
a
timid character. He was,
yeah. Yeah, but with this, it's just sort of like there's one scene where Graham Blundell he's got he falls out of a taxi and he's drying his pants off in an air drying public bathroom.
That's where it all starts.
And this really camp gay dude sticks his head around the corner and goes, "Oh, I don't mind if I'll be next or something." And it's like he's drying his pants
that
off.
That looks like. Yeah, I'll be next.
Yeah, but it's like, well, he's drying his pants off. What's the joke? What's the joke there? I don't get it. You know, but it's literally just having a camp character appear on screen for 5 seconds to give people a couple of belly laughs at the back of the drive-in theater.
We should probably also mention that when he gets fired, the boss who's firing him introduces, like, brings in his daughter and goes, I want you to look at this man. He's a sex maniac. And she's dressed as a schoolgirl. So I guess that's the big prize of this.
Like, yeah, that was... I was really worried about that.
She just wants him so bad. Yeah, well, I just... That's another thing. You see a lot of things coming in this movie. Like, and this was one of those big things that was just like, oh, God. Like, she keeps running around like in pursuit of this guy, like hopping planes, and you know, she gets arrested and escapes all the time. And
yeah,
she's just
yeah.
after this guy. And in the end, like, that's what breaks his, big reveal. Like,
oh, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert for Pacific Banana listeners out there.
We should probably put disclaimers up for these people. Oh, no. Oh, I didn't see that coming. Oh. I bet you didn't see anything coming, lads.
Yeah, the whole film is basically them flying, Martin and Paul. So Paul is the horny one with loads of girls on the go, and Martin is the one with the windsock sneezing erectile dysfunction problem. And the two of them are co-pilots, and they take people to islands in the Pacific. Like, Tahiti is one of them. Another island is isn't it something like Porkatiti or something? It's like...
Really?
Yeah, one of the islands is like Porkatiti Island, or like something crude. And yeah, they...
On Wonderland, on
Otidale
Island.
Oh, look, we should probably address one of the key elements to this feature film. And I can't remember the last time we reviewed a film that had its own song. The Pacific Banana song. I'll have to pipe in a little bit here.
Of this feature.
written just for this film. Pacific Banana. You know what? I actually think the last time we did a film with its own song might have been All the Way, the other sex comedy we did.
Yeah, which may not have been written for the movie. It's just like, it seemed like it could have just been any old song, you know.
They might have just found it on a CD compilation.
All the Way. Yeah, but this is more specific. This is like, my brother's got a problem. He can't get it up, you know. Pacific Banana.
Oh, it's a cracker. Dude, it got in my head.
We'll chuck it in.
Yeah, I'll put it in right here. Ready?
I love the
song. I'll tell them something came up.
There you go, a little bit of Pacific Banana there. But yes, that song is a bit of a, you know, it's catchy. It was in my head for a while, man. I could, Pacific Banana.
Song. They captured that sort of calypso, the Jamaican vibe, whatever it is.
Hell yeah.
Really beautiful.
Before we move on, I sent this to you kind of sheepishly after my last bad decision on a movie to watch, and I was like, what do you think of this? And I was like, I'm already a bit of the way into it. I've already seen a priest look up a stewardess's dress, and I'm like, I think this might be a winner. And yeah, honestly, that scene is phenomenal. Like, the way there's a stewardess putting something into the overhead luggage, and you can, like, she's wearing sheer underwear, so you see everything, and there's a priest there looking up, like licking his lips, and then you hear the narrator
down into his chair.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, squeezing down
to get a better look, the lower he gets, the higher the vantage point, he's sort of up the skirt he gets. And he's just like, and yeah, and as you were going to say that, like the narrator come chimes in.
And he does that filthy laugh, that...
Oh, gross. And then the vicar gets seen by the lady, obviously, in the chair next to him. And he, that's funny. He got caught looking up the girl's skirt.
A priest flying Pacific Banana Airlines as well.
Yeah. When I read, what's his name? Paul. He's having sex with one of his fiancés in the kitchenette, and she keeps burning her ass on the urn, and he thinks she's like having a great time. He's like, oh gee, I'm not that good, like chill out. And that's another little gag.
And there's a bit where there's
always like Benny Hill antics on the plane,
mate. Like, you nailed it there, Benny Hill. There is a lot of Benny Hill moments. Oh, hello. Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
there is. You've nailed it. There's a lot of Benny Hill moments in this movie. A lot of, like, towards the end especially, we get those terrific, like, sped up bits where they speed the footage up a little bit, like Benny Hill or the Goodies.
Chase scenes. Chase scenes. Yeah. Where there's, people
wacky,
just running
wacky
around.
Chase scenes. There's a bit like, right, we're still at the sort of beginning, I guess, but there's a bit where Paul and Martin are in the cockpit and they're talking, oh, cockpit, ow. they didn't actually have a cockpit joke.
Joystick.
They didn't have a cockpit joke.
No cockpits. No, you're right. There was like joysticks, all that sort of stuff. Nothing. No cockpit joke.
Oh,
even
what?
At the end when there was like the chickens. No, she made a cock joke, didn't she? But it wasn't.
Yeah, but it's not a joke. She goes, "Here comes that cock again," and they just play a rooster crowing, and it's like, right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible. I can't believe that airplanes are loaded for sexual innuendo, but they didn't do a cockpit joke.
even a mile high. Gag there where a guy was taking photos.
Yeah,
it ended up being just the title of the book, and he's like, "Oh yeah, oh yeah."
there's a bit where an older woman. There's a bit of turbulence happening in the first flight, and an older woman starts.
She starts freaking out.
And the only thing that will calm her nerves is if Paul has his hand on her breast. And
no, can I just say, he stops short. There's a bit of turbulence and he falls forward. R.I.P. Jerry Stiller. He stops short. He stops short with her. And he just, places his hand on her breast and she comes right
down. R.I.P. Jerry, massively, yes.
Nobody stops short with my wife. R.I.P. Jerry Stiller. I had to sweep that in. But yeah. And she keeps going. Every time he takes his hand off her bosom, she pipes up again. And the other pilot has to come out and yell at her.
And, yeah, he yells at her to take it easy, stop. And then, of course, a drink falls in his lap and she offers to mop it up for him. Because this is Banana Airlines, the horniest airlines in Australia.
Just another day of Banana Airlines.
I think one of my favorite parts about this movie, apart from it being so, kitsch. Yes. Let's quickly address.
I've heard you say it before. I'm not sure if it was this podcast or another podcast, but there was definitely an episode there somewhere where you mentioned that just like 80s bodies and.
Yeah,
things like that, as exploitative as it is now and everything, like, There were some really good natural bodies going on.
They were just much more pleasing to see on screen rather than...
Should be celebrated, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
With Kassantin.
Yes, of course. But yeah, definitely, dude. There was something going on in
there was a lot of it in this movie. There was plenty going on. Bad joke, there was a good boob, so...
Yeah. They had a lot of nudity in this movie, and it was... I don't know, it was kind of refreshing, yeah. There's something refreshing about, like, retro nudity, because it's like, it's before, you know, cosmetic surgery went mainstream, so a lot of the people on there, you know, they didn't have any of those kind of, like, alterations, so it's like, I don't know, there's something refreshing about it. It's bizarre, it's really bizarre.
Yeah, it definitely cleanses the palate, especially for a movie like this. Again, Pacific Banana, that's probably why it was made. It was probably just made to sort of showcase all this sort of stuff. I can't see the writer going, no, like, this is gold. People are going to love this.
Oh, dude, I reckon he was given a week and he turned in that script, and he'd been also writing for probably six other things, and he turned in that script and just kept writing. I don't feel like I don't think his heart was in it as much as Jean D. Lemon, whose heart probably wasn't in it either, but I'm sure he was fucking, you know, rock hard the whole time. there's a lot of like shenanigans.
Martin kind of looks like Chris Lilly, don't you think? The Martin character.
Dude, I had the same thought, man. The blue eyes and the lily lips, the shape of the face. I mean, Chris Lilly would never do it, but if there was ever going to be a TV movie about the life of Graham Blundell, Chris Lilly would be the man to play Graham Blundell. Like, he's hands down. He would be perfect. He would never do it.
Those lips, like, they're so recognizable. It's like someone's just cut them out of a magazine, slapped them on this guy, and you're like, oh, Chris Lilly.
And the big, thick, dark 70s hair, it looks like, you know, everybody wakes up with a blow dryer and, like, a little bit of olive oil that they streak through their hair, and that's kind of... You know, that's their hair routine or something. But yeah, definitely,
again,
dude.
I think I said this off air, but our grandpa would have had this in his collection. Or when I watched this movie, somehow I recognized it. I recognized the format, and I was like, "Wait, how do I know? Like, how am I like a little more comfortable with what's going on? Like, I've seen stuff like this before, and I swear, grandpa has put on a similar sort of movie.
Oh, well,
like,
Tim,
smutty and comedy and." And I've sat in front of it. I'm sure.
Tell the listeners when Grandpa passed away. R.I.P. Grandpa. When he passed away, tell the listeners about the little artifact that you secured for me from his garage.
Are we talking about the rope dog?
No. We're talking about the special. It's like Dr. Horny's Hooter. Erector fluid, and it was like an aerosol can from probably the
70s. Oh, that's right.
I was like a fucking gag present that you meant to...
A gag present, like something out of Granny Mae's or something, but older.
When she was, she wasn't Granny, when she was Mama Mae.
What was the spray supposed to do? Make you go hard?
It was meant to make their boobs perk up. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll take a photo and I'll put it on our Twitter of this bizarre pseudo antique item of tit spray. But yeah, definitely Grandpa would have been a big fan of this film, I guarantee that.
Yeah, for sure. He had calendars on his dunny wall.
Yeah, he was a bit of an old perv. Bit of an old perv, Grandpa. I'll tell you what, one of the things that did surprise me about this film was that the plane, right, has Banana Airlines on the side.
slapped on. I had that
big
too.
Logo.
Like, they got a plane for this whole thing.
And yeah. I was taken aback. They got footage as well of the plane passing overseas. They got I chucked one up on Twitter today, a photo of when I was rewatching it today before this, that the plane passing over, literally overseas. So they had two planes, one with the camera and one with the Banana Airlines logo. And I was like, mate, that's like quite impressive. That's quite an impressive budget for a you know, a silly dick and fart and boob
was
comedy.
The cast and crew just on that plane though. They don't have to ride those planes from country to country.
That plane is just full of penicillin for everyone that gets fucking dirty infections.
Or what does one of them say? One of the women, she's like, "This is going to be a double Valium all the way."
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Which is like, that's supposed to be a joke too. And then one of the girls offers her some whiskey and she's like, I can't. Everybody knows you can't have whiskey with Valium or whatever it is.
It's like, that's the best fun you can have, mate. Sleep through a whole fucking flight on that, mate.
Pie fight? Should we mention the pie fight?
Yeah, look, we're pretty much getting there, aren't we? Yeah, so the plane goes back and forth, sort of. We're never really clear where the plane is coming or going to, but it seems to be Tahiti.
It's weird, 'cause like they'll fly to Tahiti and then they'll pick up some coffins or something and fly back with cargo. Like, so they'll have cows on one flight and then they'll fly back with a bunch of strippers from a club or something. Yeah. It's bananas, I tell you. It's bananas.
Pardon me. That's my bloody COVID coming back to haunt me. But yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. It's really hard to tell where they're going and coming from, going to, all that sort of stuff. But we do get a pie fight, which is very Benny Hill as well. You know, I can't remember how the pie fight breaks out exactly, but everyone gets involved, all the passengers throwing pies everywhere. And honestly, this is the most fun I had in the whole movie.
Did you?
I fucking love the pie fight.
Like immediately post pie fight, when the pilot, when he settles everybody down into their seats, he says the plane's coming down. He's like, look, I think I might have to crash land, but I've never crash landed one of these before, so it'll really help, ladies and gentlemen, if you return to your seats and just calm down. And then he goes, if anybody knows any hymns or anything, now's the time to sing. In fact, I'll start you guys off. And then he starts a hymn. I just thought that was heaps funny. He just it sort of cut the whole vibe of the thing and changed it up. I think that was the funniest joke in it. Any hymns? In fact, I'll start you with one. And then I just thought, oh, we're going down with the Titanic here.
Yeah, everyone cools off on the pie fight. And we get that classic guy, another guy I chucked up on Twitter there with the monocle. The old... And I was like, you know, I want more of him. I want more of that dirty old man. You know, because one of the problems about this sex comedy is that everybody in it is such a legend. Do you know what I mean? Like the two co-pilots, both of them, they just have they've got no problem. Like women are throwing themselves at them. I wanted you want some seedy old freak who's just having a really hard time trying to get some sort of like engagement with women. And I was like, that man, he's going to be the guy. And then they just had him in the pie fight and he was gone. But, you know, he was ripe for it. You know, big mustache, like gap in his teeth, the monocle. I was like, perfect. He's going to be like an old perv character. And they didn't do it. And I was like, damn, that's what this needs.
Unutilized perv character. Just what this movie needs.
Watching this movie, right? Have you ever seen or heard of a film? Watching this movie reminded me of this movie called Blame It on Rio. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It's Stanley Donen, the guy that did Singing in the Rain. He directed this like later in his career, and it's a really gross sex comedy. It's meant to be funny. Yeah, it is meant to be funny. With Michael Caine and some other bloke I can't remember, but Michael Caine basically has sex with this dude's daughter who's underage. and they're in Rio.
No way.
And that's what this kind of reminded me of. It was like, you know, location, very bad jokes, and just, you know.
Is that where the famous line from The Trip comes from? She was only 9 feet. She was only 4 feet.
No, no. There,
she was underage, I tell you.
There is absolutely no concern about the age featured in this film. I think she's meant to be 16 in Blame It on Rio. Yeah, this is a dangerous movie. Like it's terrible. It's sort of once watched, never forgotten kind of movie. But
it's so bad that the whole point of this movie is that pursuit for the accidental pursuit of this 18-year-old who's throwing herself at this guy.
And also, and
she shows up when he's having sex with other women all the time throughout this movie. She shows up and just sort of like looks from behind a palm tree and just goes, oh, well, I do hope he fixes his little problem or whatever, you know, she's fine with it.
Well, she's a little bit crestfallen by it, but yeah, basically the CEO of Banana Airlines, his 18-year-old daughter, which you find out probably too late in the movie that she's 18 for my liking. It would have been nice to know earlier on, so I didn't feel so awkward watching it. But yeah, she is an 18-year-old like schoolgirl, and she's always running around in her, you know, schoolgirl outfit. And she's got the horn for our man Martin, Graham Blundell's character with
Windsock.
Yeah, Windsock Willie, yeah. And so she's got the horn Windsock for him. And so she's constantly stowing away on Banana Airlines voyages to try to get a route with him. And
it's so weird. Like whenever she's got a chance to sort of show up and go, Martin, he's like, there's just no, progressing with her intentions or anything. As soon as like she gets sprung or anything, there's no urgency to be like, I've just got to say, all I wanted to say was this, like, one thing. That's sort of like, what are you doing here? Oh, don't worry, Father won't find out. That's not what you came here to tell me. And Father won't find out. Just kind of, what the hell are you here for? Oh, Martin. Sorry, I went on a bit of a rant there.
Like we said at the beginning, all good sex comedies have, you know, the older sex comedies, they have a one sentence plot. So there is really no point in talking about the blow by blow jokes and gags in this film. It is just it's a slap of paint here, slap of paint there kind of movie. Before we push on, I might grab myself another beer. How are you doing for drinks there, Tim?
Yeah.
I know
I just grabbed one, but yeah.
I know we've still got a fair bit to go, but would you be up for taking a short break here? And
For sure.
I'll play a little bit more of, instead of going back to Kirk Markarian's fabulous music, which I actually have been listening to lately, and also shouts.
His new stuff?
Yeah.
Plug that, actually.
I have,
I'm really into it.
Yeah, me too, man. Big shout out to Kurt, our main man in who does the music for this show in Tucson, Arizona. And, you know, God bless you, man. Like I think about you all the time out there in America. I mean, I don't know America that well, but you know, I'm a little bit worried for you, dude.
Sounds like a scary place.
Yeah, but yeah, his latest music, it's very good. I've been doing a little bit of work from home lately, and I've been listening to his tunes while I've been working, and it's really great. It's a little bit like Aphex Twin kind of ambient work, a little bit like Venetian snares kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's so like it gets right in you. It sort of tickles your brain, and yeah, really cool. Really cool to study with.
I'll have to do a proper post on the website, so with a link and you know, feature it and stuff. But yeah, definitely listen to his music. However, in this break, I'm probably going to have to, unfortunately, Kurt, for this time, I'm going to have to drop a bit more Pacific Banana.
Sweet, smoother sounds on a Pacific Banana. He only got one problem, and that's that he can't get it up. You're listening to 101.5 Banana FM.
We'll be right back.
You got solution. You got solution. Love with banana. She is your true love. She loves your own it. She loves your own it. Pacific banana. Now it always comes up, up, up. It never goes down, down, down. You don't want to stop, stop, stop. Nobody's sick when you're around. Your love life, it is now fixed. It has plenty, plenty kicks. And boy, does it do the trick. Pacific banana.
There's a bit in Pacific Banana where Paul, the horniest of horny co-pilots, tries to get Martin's problem sorted out by taking him to basically a brothel, and they have they have illustrated posters to show you what they can do in the brothel.
At the House of Joy.
House of Joy, that's what it's called, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I thought that was funny that the posters were, like, hand-drawn.
Yeah, what do you want? Little diagrams.
All the themed rooms that they had.
Yeah, and they ended up settling for having sex on the waterbed. And, of course, the narrator's like, well, you know, good enough, I suppose. Like waterbeds were not a popular thing.
There is a point though where this narrator, he sort of
changes persuasion.
Yes, you picked up on it too. Yes.
Yeah. At one point, he's like, "Oh, I wish I could trade places with you, old boy. That's a fine-looking smoking body that I'd like to touch."
Yeah, and I was like, "What? Hang on, I thought you were like the."
I thought you were into dudes. I'm a bit of a fairy. Nobody believes in fairies. Not my type, anyway. He's that got me.
So
really
he swings both deep, ways. He's a real
plot to be explored there.
Yeah, he's a real sex positive kind of guy. He's out there. He'll take whatever he can get. There's a bit where the boys go swimming, and they go skinny dipping.
Skinny dipping. Scene, yeah.
And there was a bit where Martin, like, he was, you know, apprehensive, but then he dives in a bit. He's getting his kit off and he dives in a bit and he's got wet jeans, and that feeling of wet jeans in the ocean just hit me.
And
like
the sand and shit.
Oh, dude, it's been ages since I've had jeans wet in the ocean, but damn, how much does that suck? Like getting sand washed.
Immediate ingredient. Yeah.
And especially that tight denim.
Oh, gross. Wet jeans at the beach. Any different book, gag.
It's so bad. Like, yeah, it's like nails on a chalkboard. Like jeans in the ocean is the same kind of feeling. I was like, I couldn't look at it. But yeah, this is the point.
They go for a little skinny dip, and then a little islander. Lady, she is my island in the sun. She swims along and she's like, par, par. And he's like, man, I gotta go. I gotta go. He's like, what am I gonna tell your two fiancés? And he's like, well, tell them I went for a stiff walk.
Which that was meant to be a joke, and I was like, that's not a turn of phrase. I've never heard anyone say, I'm going for a stiff walk. I've heard a stiff drink, but I've never heard a stiff walk. Which is like, this is what the kind of jokes...
Throw in your face, ladies, like, yeah, you know what I'm doing. I'm going for a stiff walk. He doesn't care. It's just, it's terrible.
And the two... It's not... It's not funny. No, so much of this movie is not funny. And the pauses for the jokes are actually one of the funniest bits for me, is when you can tell the director has left a pause for the big round of applause and the gag, and it's not funny. Yeah. And you're just like, that's the best bit. Those moments where it's like you've wasted that much time on a fucking...
Imagine seeing it at the cinema and having the guy like look into the camera or like look straight into the back, into the audience on camera. You know, they're always breaking the fourth wall like,
like, not enough breaking of the fourth wall. I thought they could have done more of that. I thought they could have done heaps more of that. Like, just have Martin constantly looking at the camera and shrugging, being like, I don't know what to do about my soft dick, you know?
The narrator is like a gay Jiminy Cricket, don't you think?
Yeah, he is.
I'm your conscience, buddy. I'm on your side. Get it up. Keep it up, Martin. Keep it. Don't sneeze. Oh, Martin.
Didn't Jiminy Cricket... How did you... Yeah, I had to whistle to get Jiminy Cricket. In Pinocchio. Didn't Pinocchio have to whistle to get Jiminy Cricket?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Jiminy. Yeah.
So in this movie, to get the narrator, you have to do a slide whistle. I'm here, Martin.
Martin? All you had to do is whistle.
Yeah, that's... Dude, already this is funnier than the actual script. Come on. Then there's another flight. Oh, actually, sorry. Going back to the islander babe that he has, we find out that she's like, you know, you cannot tell my brothers, or my brothers will kill you. My islander brothers will kill you for having sex with me. And for some reason, both of these guys just have women just throwing themselves at them the whole film. And so that's like, you know, a very minor plot point, but keep that in your back pocket. But then we have another flight where Banana Airlines, I thought they were just a passenger airline, but they're transporting cattle.
Cattle, dead bodies, there's coffins. Oh, not dead bodies, but coffins.
But coffins, yeah.
They do cargo by one day and people by another day.
And it's just, it's like...
Taking horny people to islands and then taking back cattle.
Livestock. Livestock and horny people.
Such a weird airline. Anything goes, I suppose. Because, like, if they didn't carry cattle, then you wouldn't have that cattle wrangler with the big jugs on the flight for that scene. So you'd have to be like, oh, yeah, Banana Airlines does cattle as well. So we can have her there.
And we also...
Time for a good milking there, Paul.
I don't think they even made that joke.
No. Better get a move on.
Oh, mate. They didn't make that joke either. Like, come on.
No. I think if it would still fly today, I could probably write one of these.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I've always wanted to write a sex comedy.
What if it works? All the way.
All the way, yeah. All the way. Oh, man.
Just title. You got to think of a nice title, eh?
Yeah.
The title, and then it writes itself. Pacific Banana.
Pacific Banana is seriously probably one of the best titles. Because immediately you think Pacific, islands, amazing holiday tropical destinations, banana, a penis. It's so good. It's right there. It's one of the best.
And
then
you go back to the word Pacific, and Pacific means, like, the Pacific. So a Pacific penis. There you go. Another innuendo. It's got layers.
And the airplane, airplane is quite phallic, you know?
Yes. It's just horny straight up. When I get appealing, I get appealing. It's Pacific Banana.
Again, there was no jokes about appealing. Tim, you could definitely write one of these. You could at least write a Frank Spencer episode.
Oh, boy.
Some mothers do have them. Yeah. That's right. Okay, so we do have another character, Candy. who's a buxom woman with, you know, like we described before, excellent, like 1970s Australian sun-kissed body, you know, no kind of like cosmetic alterations done. So she's very, very natural and cool. And
yeah.
She wants to start a kind of Club Med type deal with the Pacific Banana Airlines. She wants to do a joint venture. And she's basically like a sexpert.
Yeah.
An expert on sex. Because she has her own secret brothel where she runs women, and she's like, she says to Martin, she's like, I'm gonna help you out. And she, you know, runs a few women by him, and every time he sneezes and gets the floppy windsock kind of moment. And she's like, oh geez, I just don't know what to do for this Martin guy, you know? Yeah. And it's like,
so she tries like, so there's nude paint, she takes him away and he's got to paint nude women, and then he sneezes. There's another time where she just throws women, it's like a final boss round in a video game where she's throwing women at Martin, and he's just got to like build up enough stamina to sneeze to get out of it.
It totally is. It's like a boss round. She brings out all the big guns. She brings in like the sort of like classic sort of, you know, 1980s ideal, you know, Polynesian Asian woman. And she comes out. Then we get a swimmer. Like
exercise.
And yeah, don't we get like an Olympic swimmer type with goggles? Like,
Yeah, we sure do. Oh, did you pick up on the when the Asian woman wakes him up and she's like, "How do you like it?" And he looks through and he goes, "Oh, just with a bit of soy sauce." And then he goes, "Oh, oh sorry." Martin.
How do you like it?
Plenty of soy sauce, thanks.
What?
Sorry, I was asleep.
You like my body, Martin?
That was one of the gags. That was one of the gags as well.
He's so used to just ordering food off Asian-looking people. I couldn't believe it.
How do you like it? Oh, just a bit of soy sauce.
Sorry. And, like, literally each one of these contestants, each one of these, like, you know, final boss fight women get their norks out. They're all at least topless. And
all the norks. And then they all get back to their boss. They get back to Candy. All norks out. There's, like, this huge sort of Last Supper type shot where they're all gathered around Candy going, "Nothing works, Candy. Nothing works." And so she's like, "I've got to try." And what is it? The dance of the sleeping giant.
Oh, just quickly before that happens, just quickly before she tries the dance of the sleeping giants, there's also one more, a dominatrix German, of course. And she's wearing a hat with a fucking swastika on it.
Too right. Comes in, starts whipping him and shit.
But yeah, then like you said, Candy gets the Dance of the Sleeping Giant happening, which is some sort of tribal dance where she has all these men blindfolded and they're drumming.
They're playing their musical instruments. Yeah, they have to be blindfolded because they won't be able to sexually withstand themselves. And apparently, the whole island, all the natives on the island, get really horny during this dance.
Even a gay couple, which I thought was pretty. Like, you know, as much as they'd like made fun of like gay folk and campness in this, they did have a gay couple like go off and do it, which I was like, all right, yeah.
And a gay narrator, maybe? We don't know. I like women, but I also like that bit of man.
He likes it all, man.
Poor Candy, she's like, that's the first time in 200 years that dance didn't work. Paul had a good sleep, though. He slept right through it. The most horniest guy ever had the best night's sleep. No women having sex with him. Like, that was another thing I wanted to mention. Like, every time, like, a woman threw herself at him, a beautiful woman, he would, like, look at the camera and roll his eyes like, "Oh, not again."
Yeah,
like,
he's just shagged
like,
out.
This is a chore. This is like... Oh, this is too much for me. It's like, chill out, mate.
It's like, you've got the best job in the world, dude. You're a pilot to tropical islands, and you're literally just, like, having sex with every beautiful person on the, like, on the island, on the airline. And it's just like, oh, I can't take another lay.
And he has the best night's sleep ever on the horniest night on the island. Which I thought... then there's the big Benny Hill chase, I think
well, very, very briefly, we have Pacific Banana Airlines arriving and he sees on the runway some very authentic-looking islander folk. And they're clearly...
Right. And one of the kids is wearing a pilot's hat.
To let you know that is one of... one of Paul's children. So he sees all the tough islanders and he's like, oh no, I can't be seen down there. So of course, what happens?
Drag it up.
Yeah, of course. Very 1980s, you know, a man with a big 5 o'clock shadow in a lady's Sunday hat looking silly.
Look out, and you've got to do a little wave and sort of blink, you know, look at him.
And the whole...
The other male's confused. He's there going like, ooh.
Yeah, the disguise fools everyone, so he gets past. But yeah, then we get the young 18-year-old schoolgirl who is the daughter of the CEO of Banana Air, and she's stowed away again. And she's like, oh, you know what? I need to root Martin. He's my number one guy.
This guy.
It's Chris Lilly. I need to root Chris Lilly. I need it.
Yeah, I've got to fix this problem.
So she chases him, and for some reason, he's like not up for it. I mean, like, you know, fair guff to him.
Here's another one. I can't have another root attempt. Oh, I'm just so... I've had enough.
And these...
What the hell is this guy's problem?
This is where the full Benny Hill goodies comedy kicks in, and it's just wacky, like, music, sped up footage of people having a chase down, like, a main street in Bali or whatever.
You've got Paul with his islander wife, fully naked on the beach, mind you, like, filming. They're both two flat naked bodies laid out, and then the boys rock up, the brothers, and then he does like one of those little Three Stooges gags where he's like looking at the sky and they both look up and he ducks and they grab each other. It's like a cartoon.
Very cartoon Three Stooges.
And then they all start running. Meanwhile, it's the 18-year-old chasing Martin. Martin, come back.
And
eventually, I don't know, he trips and falls into a chicken coop. And
there's a bunch of packing crates. It could be another delivery for Banana Airlines, for all we know, because, like, now we know they transport livestock with the cows. So, yeah, there's this big crate full of chickens, and he collapses in there. She dives on top of him, and she's like, oh, I've been horny for you the whole time. And he's like, oh, I never knew. Then they sort of, like, go at it a bit. He goes to sneeze, which is sort of the trigger for his erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
And she does the classic cartoon finger under the nose to block the sneeze. So all these like wonderful women that have been throwing themselves at Martin the whole film have never thought to, like, maybe block his sneeze. But this 18-year-old
I licked his asshole, but I didn't know him try to put his finger in his nose. I tried everything. And lo and behold,
all it took was a simple finger.
The source of the sneeze with a mere horizontal index finger.
And yeah, they go to it, and there's lots of, there's lots of...
There's not enough. There could be more. Chicken.
I agree. Yeah, there could be a lot more. Yeah, but there is chook sounds and feathers flying everywhere and all the rest of it. And then we get,
Martin, you've made an excellent job of yourself.
Did he say that?
No.
Again, you're writing this movie better than it could have been written.
Well, there you go.
Tim, it's your calling. You should have been writing for Some Mothers Smart Do films. Heavens. Like Some Mothers Do Heavens. If you were, you know, born, you know, 20 years before, we could have, 30 years before, you could have been writing for Some Mothers Do Have 'Em, or potentially Pacific Banana, and boosted it up into a bit more of a cult status.
Frank's fallen onto the other side of the fence. Oh, maybe I'll grab him then. No, he's physically fallen over the fence. Oh. Well, maybe I'll grab him then. Oh,
and we also get a clip of Paul, the horniest pilot for Banana Airlines, and he's now become a slave to his two fiancés, his two suitors.
Right.
He's now like massaging their backs, and they're pretty much in control. And they're like, "No, you're going to be rooting one of us tonight, and you're going to have to fucking deal with it." And he's like, "Oh, female misogynist sows." And they're like, "Oh, get on with it! Like massage our backs, mate." Like, and that's kind of, you know, the end. We also get the schoolgirl 18-year-old go, "Oh, here comes that cock again."
Yeah, chicken joke.
And then the end. The text "the end" drops down, and then it rises like a stiff penis. at a kind of incline, like a stiff penis. You get
nice
it?
Nice touch. I thought it was nice.
Yeah, dude.
Touch.
I thought that really. Was only
by the
appropriate.
End of the movie, you know what you're in for. It's like, you know.
You've come this far. Way. Here it is. and also, I watched through the not a lot of them, but like I sat through some of the credits because I like the song so much. but I sat through some of the credits, yeah. And I noticed that the Pacific Banana Airline was donated by IPEC, the logistics company, or at least like bought from them, or it was like, you know.
No way.
IPEC, whatever that brand is. I haven't seen him around for ages. You used to see him heaps when you were a kid. Remember that logistics company? The yellow and black?
The school bus where, yeah, if you saw an IPEC truck, you'd poke someone in the eye.
Yeah, yeah, that's IPEC. Right. Yeah, IPEC.
Go, shit. IPEC. It was like punch buggy, no returns.
IPEC. Yeah.
IPEC. Oh, third. Oh, shit.
I don't know if they're still in operation. I fucking hope they are because, you know, God bless them for donating an airline to Pacific Banana, the motion picture.
Banana
so what do you...
Banana Express.
What do you...
Actually, for the longest time, I was like typing Banana Express into YouTube and I couldn't find it.
Banana Express.
Pacific Banana.
Mate.
Banana Express. It came up some weird... It was like Pineapple Express parodies. It was like parodies of parodies and, rabbit hole.
Can you imagine if Pacific Banana was released in, say, let's say 1972, if Pacific Banana came out then, I reckon they could have done a sequel called Banana Express and just had a train. And they could have had so many gags, trains entering tunnels, you know, like, come on.
Mate, special delivery, all those sort of
things. Have the same guys.
Running out of steam.
Yep, there you go. You know what? Here's my pitch. Have the same guys, but this time Martin is comfortable with himself. He's got a sexual partner. He's got the horn. He's fine. But Paul has lost. He's got the Foster's flop.
Libido.
Yeah.
I've lost me mojo, baby. Yeah.
And Martin's got
to
help him.
To a shout-out while we're talking about sex comedies, Austin Powers, although it was a little light on the sex, it did well to sort of transcend this type of film.
I wonder if
something that was mainstream. Like, it was kind of like, it was that type of movie, don't you think?
Yeah, pretty
just
much.
Excuses for women to be like, "Oh, Austin." He's like, "Oh."
Oh, that's actually very true. You're right. Because, like, yeah, he was really, like, grotesque to look at, but all of the birds threw themselves at him and stuff. Yeah, no, you're right. I wonder if Mike Myers ever saw any of the Alvin Purple or Pacific Banana movies, you know?
Well, wonder if he's, yeah. Mike Myers, a smutty enthusiast.
Oh, dude, I heard that fucking, I heard that Austin Powers is coming back, man. Did you hear that? I've never bothered as far as like Googling it, but I have heard like on podcasts and stuff that apparently like Mike Myers is trying to resurrect Austin Powers, the character. Ooh. Oh man.
Yeah, his last one didn't work out too well. Was it Love Guru?
Oh, I never saw it, but it's infamously shit. Yeah. Oh, dude. I mean,
there,
like,
anyway, you can sort of squeeze in. He's like, I'll just get like a bunch of hot chicks around me and, I'll do some jokes.
Yeah, I'll be funny and you guys just sit there and just deal with it, all right? I mean, like, if Austin Powers was to come back now, they'd have to do, like... did you see those later episodes of League of Gentlemen where they had that shit where they had Barbara, Babs Cabs, and she was talking about the whole trans issue and stuff and, like, how that had become, like, much more in the zeitgeist and everything. That's the only way Mike Myers is going to get... If he tries to bring back Austin Powers wholesale, he's done for. He's cancelled, you know?
Exactly.
But Pacific Banana, let's talk seriously, man. What did you think of the experience? What did you get from it? What do you, you know, let's see where you lie on the whole Pacific Banana. I just love saying Pacific Banana.
You like a little bit of the pussy boy, don't you? Go grab that pussy boy.
That was a joke in it.
Dressed as a cat.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Immediately thought, I'm like, oh, I wonder if Donald Trump is a fan of this movie.
That's right. He's like, yeah, grab the pussy.
That's okay to be just like, oh, I know you want to grab that pussy boy.
Big Donnie Trump just watching that on the fucking like projector in the White House, just like loving Pacific Banana.
Yeah. The Banana Express. yeah, far out. What a movie. I enjoyed it. I got to tell you though, my newlywed wife is working from home at the moment. I thought I could get away with like a cheeky viewing when you send me the link. I'm downstairs watching it. She comes down for a little lunch break or whatever, you know, like work from home, you can get up whenever you want. She comes down, she says, what are you watching? I'm like, it's the next movie for the podcast. And she's like, oh yeah. And she just sat down and just started, and it was in between boob moments, which isn't, it doesn't take too long before there's boobs back in. And I just started having to explain myself. I'm just watching this movie. It's kind of, you know, this is a lost sort of, it's, you know, it's something that just needs to be encapsulated and talked about. And
I'm not enjoying it any other way. Dude, the same thing happened.
Normal twice.
My girlfriend's been crook, and she was in. She was fast asleep, and so I was like, perfect time to throw it up, Pacific Banana, and I put it on, and you know, I was taking notes and everything, and she came out right towards the end and just copped the last bit of like the Benny Hill chase sequence and the tits out and here comes the cock again and the fucking the stiffed the end text and everything. And I was like, yeah, it's just, I'm doing it for the podcast, you know.
I had such
a fucking blast watching it, honestly.
I was a great movie, but like, I had fun.
Yeah, and like I wouldn't recommend it to anybody unless you're doing, you know, maybe if you, I'd recommend it to somebody who's maybe doing a podcast about Australian movies. Maybe you could watch that, but otherwise I wouldn't recommend you watch Pacific Banana.
No.
Because it is quite shit. However, the music, the theme song, that's fucking beautiful. Dynamite.
Let's even go out with the theme song as well.
Let's do it, dude. Let's go out on the theme song.
I love it. The Pacific Banana.
I mean, we here in the Southern Hemisphere are currently going right into the coldness of winter. So your ears listen to the Calypso tunes of Pacific Banana. Imagine you're out
winter,
somewhere.
It's a bit cold.
Oh, a little bit of shrinkage.
Betty, there's a bit of shrinkage.
I can't believe it.
Pacific Banana. Check us out on the facials and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the facials.
Facials. Social.
Bloody social media. He's talking about the social media. Yeah, no, seriously, check us out.
Hello.
Fuck.
Oh, derailed again. Derailed.
Oh, derailed. Got knocked off our course.
Ladies and gentlemen, check us out. Take it easy. We'll see you next time on another episode of Aussie Cinema Talk.
Get tested, babies.